Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello and good afternoon. You're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is Valentine's Day, and you're listening to Divine Light with Virginia Mercury and your host, Virginia Mercury. Virginia is an intuitive counselor and metaphysical practitioner who is here to explore the importance of being a ray of light on this planet. I know she has a wonderful show planned for you guys today with a wonderful special guest. So without further ado, I give you your host, Virginia Mercury.
I just want to say happy Valentine's Day to all of my listeners and readers. I've gotten a great response from you, so continue to Facebook me and call me and email me, and I am looking forward to meeting some of you in the near future. Today I'll be interviewing Goddess, spiritual photographer, fashion designer, writer, and spiritual teacher. I know her as my business associate and spiritual matriarch. She's here to talk with us today about her life, work, visions, the divine feminine movement, and what it's like to be a light worker of the first wave. Without further ado, let me bring you to Goddess. Goddess, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Goddess, thank you for being here today. It's such an honor to have you on, and I'm just so excited about all of the work you're doing and our collaborations that we have planned for the future. I wanted to ask you, just so our listeners can get a better feel of who you are, what made you decide to become a spiritual photographer and designer?
Well, in my prayers, well, what the designer came as a result of visions that I had as a child. As a child, I would go off into this, this trance, and I would be in this other dimension, and I would see these women, and these women would just float toward me, and they were wearing these three-dimensional garments, and they would exude this energy of love, and I would come out of the vision just filled with love. And so in my desire to bring that experience into this dimension, I started creating these three-dimensional garments with hoods. And I call them wings. If you look at my garments, they have wings in them. So it was my way of connecting the two worlds together.
That's fascinating.
Say that again.
That's fascinating, because you're right, they do look like wings.
And after a while of creating these garments, I began to realize through my meditation and through my creating that this was the woman that existed in all women, this sacred and this beautiful spirit being was the true essence of who we are. We were, but it took many years for me to come to that. At first, it was just a desire just to bring that energy into this dimension through fashion. So I did that for a while and did fashion shows and things. I really didn't have the full understanding of what that was all about until I began my own spiritual journey or awakening, as I say. Some things happened in my life that brought me to my knees, to that place where I started sincerely seeking and wanting to know who I was and why I was and why I had those visions at such a young age. And that's when the message of the goddess began to come forth in my spirit. And I began to know that these women were us.
Mm-hmm.
It was the true essence of who we were as women on this planet, that we were spirit beings having this human experience, but we were spirit first and foremost.
I have so many questions for you, but I think we would need three shows to even delve into all that you've experienced. as you know, in my articles, I write a lot about why we transition into a new spiritual being and just creating an authentic spiritual life for ourselves. Would you mind sharing with the listeners one or two experiences that you had that brought you on this journey?
Well, one of the things, you know, as a child, I grew up in a very emotionally abusive household. My mother was a weakened alcoholic, and my father was a heroin addict, and he was very temperamental. So there was a lot of emotional violence in the home, and my mother was always depressed. And being an empathic person, I felt her pain. I felt her depression, and I struggled as a child wanting to be here. I often told God I didn't want to be here. So even in my life, as I grew to be a mother in my early 20s, I had a wonderful husband. I had a beautiful home. And from the outside, my life looked really perfect, but I still had that underlying depression, that underlying desire of not wanting and not really understanding, you know, what life was really all about. You know, I thought once I got married and had a husband and kids and that I would be happy, because that's what life tells you. But I knew that it was something going on deep inside of me from the things that happened in my life. And so after so many years of trying to deal with that emotional pain through drinking, through medication from doctors, I decided that I would just go to the source, that I would just go to God and ask God, you know, seek his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here, and why am I so depressed, and what is this journey all about, and what are the visions about, what was that about? And God began to speak to me, and I began to have revelation and self-knowledge.
That is powerful. Tell me something. What kind of work did you do full-time before taking on your spiritual journey?
Well, you know, in my 20s, I did fashion shows. This was before I got into seeking spiritually. I was just doing the shows. I was taking the garments that I made from my vision, and I was doing shows. And I basically called these garments avant-garde designs. And and so that was pretty successful. I was a great commentator. It was a wonderful experience. For about, I would say, about 10 or 12 years I did that. And then I started to work in the shelter. I got kind of burnt out on sewing and doing the shows and everything, and I started working in the shelter with women 15 to 21, and that was a powerful experience, and that's kind of around the time I started getting into the photography.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that's when I first met you, when you were working in the shelter and doing the spiritual photography with some of the young women. They had some very hard lives, but you wouldn't know it through those pictures that you took of them. You could truly see the divine light shining within them.
Yeah, the spirit in my meditation, spirit kept showing me in the vision women with their eyes closed and white, and I was being led to do the photography, and I really, you know, I fought with it for a while, and then I brought me a camera, and I started doing my friends that were on the spiritual path as a way to celebrate and document their evolution through the photography, and so it was a powerful experience for me to be able to do that. And one day I went to work, and I was showing the girls in the shelter, because I would often bring my camera just to get used to working my camera. I would take pictures of them and their little mini skirts, if you know, if it was their birthday or something like that. they would, you know, put on little outfits and want their picture taken. So I showed them what I love to do. I said, I really love taking these spiritual pictures. Let me show you. And I was really surprised when one of the young ladies asked me to take a spiritual picture of her for her birthday instead of a regular outfit. She wanted me to bring in the white and drape her in the white, and she wanted the spiritual picture. So I had the means to blow it up to 11 by 17. I put it on a mat board. And after that picture, all the girls were every week, you know, they call them peace pictures, because the object in the picture was to bring the subject to a place of peace. And so I played soft music. We did deep breathing exercises, and we used visualization. I told her to visualize the most magnificent and beautiful place in nature that she could imagine, and to go to that place and to feel peace in that place, and to feel love in that place, and to breathe. And so I taught them how to relax and to go to that place of sacredness that is within them. And so my goal as the facilitator is to capture the energy, the peace in the picture, and to freeze that in time so that they can look at that picture on the wall and feel the presence of the divine spirit emanating from them. And this was a powerful experience for me as well as for the girls, because they were able to see that even though they were in pain, that they had the power to connect with that part of it wasn't.
Mm. Goddess, I just love listening to you speak. It's hard for me not to go into a trance myself because your voice is so soothing. I'm trying to stay focused within this moment, because I actually feel as if I'm here with you in this room right now. Part of it is probably because of the connection that we have. I know that we've talked some about the young girls in the shelter who have this spiritual photography. Would you mind sharing with us some of the outcomes in their lives after having these photos done?
I would love to, because that was really elevating for me to see how powerful an instrument it is. When people take a picture, they usually take a picture of their physical self in a physical place. But to have a picture taken of yourself in a spiritual space is different. And it has the power to affect your spirit. And so it becomes a tool. And I realized this through a couple of situations that had happened. I had a young lady who was very angry. She had a lot of anger issues, and she was having problems getting along with the other girls. And so in my consultation with her, she talked about her rage and her anger toward her family and how they was not there for her. And I explained to her that anger that she was carrying was affecting other relationships in her life, and it also was affecting her health, because a lot of times when people are angry and they carry a certain level of anger, they'll have stomach problems and headaches and things like that. And she was experiencing some of that. And so I asked her, could she forgive her family? Did she ever think that she could forgive them? And she told me, absolutely not. She said, no. And so she wanted a spiritual picture taken. And so we had made an appointment, and when we got ready to do our picture, and I was facilitating her going into meditation, what was amazing to me is that she went under so quick. She was able to go to that place of peace so fast. And what that told me was that her soul was wanting a moment of rest. And so we took the picture, and when she saw the picture, when I printed it out and I gave it to her, she was in tears. You know, she said, I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. And that's a big thing for a young woman to say that she's beautiful. Most of the time at 18, girls are very critical of themselves. And I asked her, I said, so what do you see when you look at that picture? She said, I see someone who is beautiful. I see someone who is peaceful. And I see someone who is forgiving. And that just brought tears to my eyes. I see someone who is forgiving. And I said, is that you? And she smiled. She said, I don't know if this makes sense to you. It is me, but then again, it's not me. But then again, it is me. So she knew that it was a dimension of herself that was capable of forgiving.
Knowing that you do this powerful work with these young women of a spiritual nature, how was it for you working in the shelter? We won't mention its name, but I know that it follows a pretty traditional structure. How were you able to balance your spiritual photography with your professionalism?
Well, they did allow me to take the spiritual pictures there, and they also supported me in going a spiritual awareness group there. So I was able to talk to the women about things like peace and love, forgiveness. And so we were
able to... Well, even they eventually recognized the value in this work, although they do a lot of clinical work with these young girls.
Yes.
I wanted to go back to something that you'd mentioned about earlier in your life, feelings of, you know, being different from others, feeling as if you didn't want to be on this earth. And that's an intense statement for a young child. And I bring this up also because I'm finding that a lot of the children that I work with in my other life, so to speak, make such statements, such as they feel as if they don't want to be here. And it's not a sense of wanting to take their life. It's just knowing that there's another place and another time for them that could better support who they are as a spiritual being. I don't know if you're familiar with Dolores Cannon.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. She has a lot of footage on YouTube, but she's a world-renowned hypnotist, and she talks about there being three waves of light workers. And the first wave of light workers, from what I understand, came along in the late 50s, early 60s. Those would be your hippies and your flower children. But a lot of them... just felt as if they couldn't survive in this world and had tried to take their lives. And, mm-hmm. and I thought about you, especially as a young African-American girl growing up in Detroit. What must that have been like to have all of these spiritual experiences?
Well, one of the things I wanted to share was As a young child going through those emotional things and feeling really, really depressed, by the age of, I think, 6 or 7, I became severely depressed and didn't want to be here. So I stopped talking and I stopped eating. And my mother, she didn't know what to do, and she took me to a medical doctor, and he referred me to a psychiatrist. I also was having trouble sleeping. I just really didn't want to live because I was telling God, these people are not loving. And and I was, God, where are my powers? I wanted to be in that space where the women illuminated light, where the women, in my visions, I wanted to be there in that space where my spirit would take me from time to time. And so I longed to go to that space and be with those women, and that's why I started creating the garments, was my way of bringing a part of them here, if I couldn't go there, you know, later in life. But as a child, going to the psychiatrist, by the second visit, the psychiatrist had an order and told my mother that she could not remove me from the facility. And so I became a ward of the court, and I went from group homes to, at first I stayed at an institution, which was Herman Kiefer. They had a psych ward for children. And that was a very powerful experience. It's when I first got there, they let it be known if I didn't eat that they would hook me up to tubes and stuff. So I started eating enough just to keep them from doing that, but I still wasn't talking and was still severely sad or depressed. But the thing was, it was this one woman and this one staff that was there. Whenever she came on duty, I felt this peace about her, and I felt love emanating from her. The rest of the staff I didn't feel. It was this one staff, and her name was Miss Rogers, and she just had a beautiful spirit, and she just made me feel good whenever she sat next to me, and the tone of her voice and everything. I loved when she would come on duty. Well, every week my psychiatrist would come and get me, and he would ask me to talk to him, and I really didn't want to talk. And so he got angry one day because I wouldn't speak to him, and he told me that I could never, ever see my mother again. And so he asked me how did I feel about it, and I wouldn't respond. I knew in the back of my mind that he just wanted me to talk, to start talking. And when he took me back to the ward, this rage, as I was walking back to my room, this rage started bubbling up inside of me. And by the time I got to my room, I was in a room with five beds, metal beds, those little thin metal beds with the little mattresses on them. I just started tipping over the beds and screaming. And these two men came and they grabbed me and they pinned me down and they gave me what you call a hypo in my rear end. And they put me in the room like a cement floor with a little mattress and a little window. And they threw me in the room and locked the door. So I'm screaming, I'm crying, and I'm beating on the door. And Miss Rogers comes to the door. In her soft and gentle voice, she says, "Baby," she said, "I want you to sit down." She said, "because they've given you a shot, and I don't want you to pass out and hit your head on the cement floor." And I'm just still screaming and hollering. And she opens the door, and she steps in, and she grabs me by my shoulders, and she says, "You stop this. You stop this." And it shocked me because I knew that if she did this, then what she's saying must be true. Because, you know, she must be afraid for me. So she said, "Come sit on the mattress. Come sit next to me." And so I went and sat next to her, and she looked at me with all this love in her eyes, and she said, "Cry. Cry for all the hurt and pain that you ever felt. Cry." And she took my head and laid it on her shoulder, and she hummed and she rocked me. And I cried and I cried. And I fell asleep. And all I know is I woke up, I felt the sun coming through the window and it was kissing my face. And it felt so good. But I felt free. I felt this freedom that I had never felt before. And then someone came to the door and they said, "You ready to come out?" And I felt happy and I said, "Yeah." And ever since that day, I was talking and playing with the other kids. And what I realized is that as a child, I carried so much hurt and pain. And my father, like a lot of parents, whenever I would start to cry, he would say, "Get that look off your face. You know, shut up. Stop crying, or I give you something to cry for." So I had a lot of pain, emotional pain that I was carrying. And that was what was facilitating my depression, that overwhelming sadness and hurt and pain that I had nowhere to express. And she gave me a safe place to express that because she loved me and she brought the peace and the caring and made me feel that I could express my deepest hurt and pain in her presence. And I think that that's what the goddess is all about. The goddess movement is all about is women becoming nurturing, women becoming a space where love can flow, where peace can prevail.
You know, I really don't know what to say. That story is so moving that I'm trying to hold the tears back, really. You know, it's interesting that you mention, you know, just people institutionalizing you and keeping you from your family at that time. And so much reminds me of my childhood and my father as well, my late father. You know, he was an African-American man in a position of power, but he was also empathic and a light worker of that first wave. But yet, there was no frame of reference for that at that time. And he battled a lot of his own personal and inner demons. But he was always very loving and kind. Mm-hmm. And just remember in receiving people at his funeral, them talking about how caring he was and the values that he had and the impact that he had on other people. Mm-hmm. And I say this because a lot of people do not know what a light worker is, and they don't know even that they are one. So that's something that we've got to get out there more. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I even first learned of the term until I went through my own process of therapy and just cleaning out things in my life that no longer serves me. But we know that that's a process. Going back to the waves of light workers, according to Dolores Cannon, the first wave, your wave, my father's wave, had the most difficult time, and that my wave, being a child of the 70s and 80s, we were supposed to have a much easier time. And then the millennial children born now, they're just supposed to be these days of light and hope and be so advanced, which they are. But I'm not so convinced that it's so cut and dry, because I still face a lot of spiritual persecution, even in not revealing who I am. I think people sense that about me and sense that I'm different. And one of the people early in my life who was a source of support was my Spanish teacher, Ruth Maltz. You know, I was a BAP, a Black American Princess for all intents and purposes. And I was walking around high school at a time when gangsta rap was the thing. But I was into Seattle grunge and wearing ponchos, dream catcher earrings, baggy pants, and working as a library assistant looking at the occult books. Now, why we had an occult book section in our high school, I have no idea. But I'm lucky that I didn't get the car kicked out of me at that point. I have my own opinions, but why do you think it's so hard for the African-American community, especially to embrace this new thought, spirituality? And really, that's our birthright.
You know, I think that, you know, a lot of the things that I study now are things that have been demonized by organized religion. You know, the numerology and astrology and things like that. And most people are afraid to venture outside of the perimeters of which religion, you know, because of fear of condemnation from their family and fear of God, you know. But when you've been through, I've been through just about every religion, and then I had to move beyond religion to find my own truth, you know. But one of the things I wanted to say about the children and myself as a child is that some children are born with the ability to discern spirit or to walk in a room and feel the spiritual energy in the room, you know, pick up on spirit. And they call it empathic, being empathic or being sensitive. And people used to always accuse me, "You're so sensitive." You know, I'm sensitive. You know, and it's true. I am a sensitive, and to understand that is a gift. Took me a long time to understand that it was a gift. But also, when you are a sensitive, when you understand that, there are certain things you have to do to protect yourself from being open to negative energy. You have to pray. You have to meditate. You have to put yourself in the white light. Working in the shelter for 18 years, I learned the power of meditation, the power of putting yourself in the white light before you walk in. So no matter what's going on in the shelter, no matter how much, you know, negativity they were, I could maintain a energy field of peace and of love in that dark space. I could be a light. I could be peace. I could be love. But I had to do my ritual every day to do that. And that's what those that have that gift have to do. They have to do their spiritual work or rituals to walk in this world and not be absorbed, not absorb the negativity of others and be overtaken. And I've seen that happen to people.
And I've seen and experienced that as well. One practice that helps me tremendously is taking a spiritual bath and bringing in candles of all of my saints and angels and guides and playing meditative music on Pandora and just setting my intentions for the day. And I noticed that the days when I don't make time to do that, the trajectory of it goes downhill, or I don't feel as equipped to handle the challenges that come my way as I would have with that spiritual cleansing in the morning. And then also again at night if needed.
Yeah. And I think what we realize is that the spiritual realm is real. Everything in this world is the illusion. Everything was created out of the spiritual realm. So the spiritual realm is actually more real than this physical world in which we live in. So as spiritually aware people, we have to address that reality, that we are spirit first, having a human experience. And our spirit is of most value, is the most valuable thing that we have. A lady once said to me, she said, we protect everything of value, put locks on our doors, we put alarms on our cars, but the most important thing that we have, which is our spirit, we protect the least. And so it's important that we protect our spirit.
That is so true. Goddess, we're going to take a brief break. I'm going to give some announcements from my sponsors and also share some resources with our listeners. But we will resume our portion of the interview at 11:40. So get a nice cup of tea and some water, and I'll be back with you soon.
Okay, look forward to it.
Okay, so just stay around. One of my sponsors is Odyssey Counseling of Royal Oak. The founder and therapist name is Kimberly Taylor. She's a licensed professional counselor. She specializes in codependency, preteen and adolescent therapy, life transitions, identity issues, migrant issues, general anxiety and depression, and she's even bilingual. and speaks Spanish. She's also a pastoral counselor for Renaissance Unity. She wants you to know that actually this month and pretty much every month to follow, you'll be able to receive counseling from her through a Unity church or through even a Unitarian church at a suggested love rate of $25. She will work with you if you have less to offer, but she also just wants you to know that inner healing is a journey that begins within. Another special that she is running, and it's subject to change, is that your first four sessions with Odyssey are $25, and after that, it's subject to a sliding scale. I've known Kimberly Taylor for quite some time now, and I know her to be someone who is a wounded healer herself and on her own journey, and I think that is what makes her a very effective counselor. So if you're looking for someone in the near future or even for a family member or friend, you can reach her at area code 248-943-5196. Again, that's 248-943-5196. Another one of my sponsors' name is Jody. She is a wonderful Afrocentric hairstylist. She works out of Tangi Salon on West McNichols and Ardmore in Detroit. And her cell phone number is 313-772-5902. Again, that's 313-772-5902. And actually, if you look at the picture of my ad every month, she's the one that styles my hair. And I must say it's so liberating once you stop straightening your hair and just allow, as Goddess said, that true Goddess to shine through you. Goddess, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. We have talked a lot about your upbringing and your path in the spiritual walk. Now I wanted you to talk to our listeners about some of the things that you're doing currently, such as your workshops and the fashions you're working on.
Well, I am working on garments to facilitate the photography. I do photographs in white, and those are called peace pictures. And those pictures, the objective is for a woman to connect with that sacred space of peace and love within herself. And then I take goddess pictures, which are pictures where women are looking into the camera with the awareness of who they are as a goddess, and their eyes are open, and they're projecting their strength and their power into the camera. They're seeing themselves in their mind as daughters of God, creator of the universe. And so that is an empowerment picture. I guess you would call it a goddess empowerment picture. And so I like to create garments for that experience. So I create garments to facilitate a spiritual experience. And I also use these garments to do fashion shows. I've done shows, and this gives me a platform to talk publicly about the goddess to large groups of women and to show the garments, to show the creativity of my designs, the hoods and the wings, as you say, and the garments. So it's a way. Spirit had told me, you know, once I started my spiritual awakening, when I spoke to God about the visions and why I initially had the visions, God told me the visions were a way for me to remember who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could remember who I was, I could help other women too. Because God said once women have a vision of the goddess in their mind's eye, they can see her, they can feel her, they can become her. And that the goddess, in actuality, is the feminine expression of Christ.
Mm.
And that
I've
in
actually,
the day of... Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, goddess.
In the day of revelations, which is the where we're at now, the goddess, there would be a great awakening of the goddess within women. And that's what I'm seeing now in my classes. I'm seeing women come forth and say, I am a goddess. I am a healer. I am a teacher. Because the prophecy that was given to me was, in the day of revelation, the world as we know it will come to an end. In the womb of the goddess, the seed and the vision of the new world has been implanted. She will awaken, she will emerge, and she will give birth to a new world. She will travel across many nations. She will teach and give birth to a new creation of sons and of daughters who will know love and who will know God. She is truth and she is light. She is the second coming of Christ. And what the Spirit was saying, that Christ will come as a spirit, and it will come through women.
Are you still with me, Goddess?
Yes, I am here.
I'm sorry, there was a little bit of interference. We have talked a little bit about these visions, and the one thing that I find remarkable is that many of us women who are on this path are having similar visions. And I have seen women in white marching on the streets, mothers, sisters, grandmothers, daughters, just taking to the streets and going to the center of the city and demanding that they be paid fairly and that they be given the time needed to spend with their children and that they are given the same respect that men are given in this world.
Yeah.
And I see that happening soon. I see that happening as a continuation of the feminist movement, but with a spiritual twist. I also see you and others like myself as being key in this movement. I'm actually trying to stay out of trance right now, but I'm just going with it, Goddess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm receiving that you are going to have your own radio show soon. So I want you to be prepared and open to that, because there are people listening to you today and what you're saying resonates with them also. So make your voice known even more. I know you've also done that through your book. Would you share with us a little bit about the book that you published a few years back?
Well, I wrote a book called The Book of Wisdom. And what inspired me to write the book was in working at the shelter with the young women they would always ask me, why do I feel this peace coming from you? Why do I feel this warmth whenever I'm around you? You know, why are you so different? They wanted to understand, you know, the energy that they felt. And so I was compelled, because in the shelter, it's a transient place. Girls come sometime, they're there for a week. Sometimes they leave after 2 or 3 days. You don't know how long they're going to be there. And I would often, when they would compliment me, I would say, thank you. But then the Spirit impressed upon me, you know, why not give them the information that they need so that they too could have that experience of peace in their journey. So the Book of Wisdom was born, and it was a way for me to document my spiritual evolution and journey through these thoughts, through these inner revelations that I had about myself and my journey that brought me to this place of peace. And so I would give the books away to the girls in the shelter, just print them off, you know, on our copier and give them to the girls. And it impacted a lot of their lives, and it is to this day impacting a lot of people's lives. I have a lot of positive feedback from it. But I think we all have a book of wisdom to give to the world. And your wisdom is just what you've learned from your journey. Because the things that you have overcome is what you have the power to heal in others. So when sharing our journey, we are, in fact, helping others to heal.
And that word, heal, is actually reflexive onto itself. And what I mean by that, it's one of the few words in the English language that gives an action, and the person giving the action also receives it. So when I say the word, I heal, not only do I work to heal others, but I'm working to heal myself at the same time.
Yeah.
For those who are listening right now and interested in connecting with you, how might they do that?
They could email me at goddess, goddess, at yahoo.com. I would love for them to take a look at my Facebook page. It has some of my spiritual photography, and they could look it up under Goddess, G-O-D-I-S, the highest vision, and they'll see some of my photography there. And I think maybe one of the fashion shows I did at the museum. But I also wanted to say this to the women out there, that our outer world is a reflection of our inner world. And what I mean by that is that when we as women can hold ourselves in a sacred and divine light in our own mind, when we can do that within ourselves, when we can stand in the isness and the truth of who we are as divine and sacred creations of God, then the planet will change. There will be a shift.
Yes. Goddess, it was so nice having you here with us today and speaking about your journey. I want to say to those who are thinking about working with me or have appointments scheduled already, a part of your spiritual life coaching experience will be to have a photograph with Goddess and a session where she will work with you through affirmations, and she gives you a very nice CD so that you can listen to them every day. Goddess, it was a pleasure to have you, and have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Well, I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share my light and my life with others. So thank you too, Virginia. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, before we end today, I wanted to share with you what Ray of Light is offering. My guides are constantly working, and it feels as if I'm being downloaded with information. But I'm going to tell you what they are asking me to do and offer to you as a gift. Throughout the next month, you are free to see me for a 15-minute reading, whether it be regarding personal, professional issues, or just life path in general. These appointments I primarily do on weekends and evenings, so you'll want to schedule ahead of time. The other thing that Spirit has given me is a poem to share with you today in honor of Valentine's Day. I normally do not share this with others, but now that I'm out of the closet, so to speak, I think it's very important for light workers to have this prayer because it's a part of shielding yourself daily. I'd like you to take a few moments and just silence yourself. Go to the core of your being. Feel the love rising up from the center of the earth and through every chakra and to the top of your crown. And repeat after me. You can do this silently or in your head. Archangel Michael, Supreme Guardian of the Right, thank you for shielding us with your tube of light. Germaine, our saint and ancient sage, thank you for healing us with the violet flame. Christ, our Lamb, thank you for showing us the path back to that which I am. Mother of Mercy, thank you for opening our heart and showing us the way out of the dark. Epona, thank you for the use of your sacred crystal so that divine healing is no longer mystical. Archangels standing by our sides, thank you for showing us how to be loving earthly guides. Aphra, our brother, we choose your fight to help all of our people and end our plight. Archangel Michael, supreme guardian of divine light, thank you for shielding us with your tube of light. And so it is. Thank you, my beloved listeners, and have a wonderful Valentine's Day.